Are you ready to exist boldly? I'm Leanne Scheer, lifestyle coach, founder of Cycle District, and gym owner times two. Welcome to Undone and Uncensored. Welcome back to Undone and Uncensored. Today, I'm super excited to talk to you about shifting your perspective. I think this is huge and completely and totally life-changing when we can figure out what we're doing, how to do it, and what our different options are where we're in situations where we might not really have the full story. And so we're relying on our perception and or our ability to understand based on our past triggers. When I looked up what perspective is, because I find it so interesting that there can be three or four people in the same room, something can happen inside that room, and you can talk to all four people the next day. And based on who they are, their processes, how they think, one person may feel really supported. Another person may have picked up on something, maybe a look. Let's say that we're talking about a staff meeting and I'm leading a staff meeting. I feel really good about it. I'm trying to rev up the staff. And I come back later and say, hey, I want to get your feedback and how you feel like the staff meeting went. And it's interesting, you could have one person say, really good, I feel really supported, I'm really feeling good about this new promotion that we have coming up. Someone else could say, I don't like the way you talk to me. Somebody else could say, I didn't really understand what you were saying. Again, I'm having the same conversation with all three to four people that are there. And based on my facial expressions and how they perceive those, based on my tone of voice and how they perceive those, and the words that I choose to use, it doesn't really matter what my reality is and what my intention was when I went in there to have that conversation. What matters is how that person felt. And unfortunately, we don't always have access to why someone would perceive something that you meant to be positive in a negative way. So basically, the meaning of perspective is your point of view. And what we need to all understand, and one thing that I've really been working on for myself, is understanding that because I am seeing something a certain way does not make it real. This happens a lot of times with sisters. So Nancy and I, I have a sister, if you haven't been listening to other podcasts, it's just a little over a year older than me. And her and I not only remember different stories, but there are the same story that we remember very differently. And not only differently, but the details make it impossible for both of us to be right. So if I remember something happening in a certain location, she may remember the same story, but it happened somewhere else. So I think very little of what we take into our, especially when you're looking way back at a situation, we're only remembering it based on how it impacted us, and we're losing some of our memory as we get older. So what we're going to retain is how we felt. If it was something very happy that happened to us, if it was something very devastating and or traumatic. And the other incredibly interesting thing is that's our reality. If I tell my sister, hey, that didn't happen, this is what happened, she looks at me and says, no, that didn't happen, you're remembering that wrong. And I can look back at her and say, no, you're remembering that wrong. And we're both right. That's how we're remembering it. It doesn't even matter what the real story was anymore. What we took with us is real to us. So when people say perception is reality, even though it may not actually be the reality that happened, as in factual, to the person who believes and remembers it the way that they saw it through their lens. And again, I think that's key. Like, how am I visually seeing something through my lens? If I have pain, if I've been rejected, if I have lived as a victim, I might inadvertently be responding to a situation as a victim. That's my lens. That's what I know. So there's a lot of work to be done here to start also adjusting our lens, for lack of a better word. So we believe what we see to be accurate without considering how our lens may be flawed by our own trauma, by our own upbringing, by our own insecurities. So what now? How do we fix this? How do we internally look at the patterns that we've created when it comes to perception that unknowingly may be keeping us from moving forward and having the lives that we want to have? My thoughts on this is one of the very first things to do is look back. Retrospect for me is always where I can really see as I grow a little bit and I'm able to stop and look back at a situation. I can always see places that I could have done things differently, even if it was just being more considerate of somebody else and maybe their perception of what was happening. So I'm going to talk to you about a few of those stories, kind of to bring it together for you about what I'm talking about. And then what I would suggest if you want to check in on yourself and your perception and how you may have created a conflict unknowingly using a lens that's, for lack of a better word, broken, that my stories hopefully will trigger something that you've gone through that will also give you a different way to look at it. And then I also want to talk about how my personal feelings about myself getting older and the different changes that I've had in my body. I don't care if you're 16, if you're 40, if you're 60, or you're 90, your body is always aging. It's always changing. We're always evolving. So this isn't just for old people. I want to add, if you're a young one on here listening, recognizing the gifts of aging at each different point in our lives and what our bodies are able to do and appreciating them where they are and learning to value each age that you get to as a gift. Instead of what many of us do, which is like, oh my God, did you see this wrinkle? Or oh my God, for me, I know that aging, one of the first things that I noticed is when the elasticity in my skin started changing. And I didn't like it at all. I mean, that was a point in time where I'm like, this aging is bullshit. I don't want my skin hanging weird with little wrinkles on it that weren't there before. That could be my perception about aging. Or what I could do is sit down and write a gratitude list for what I'm really grateful that my body can do today. I read something many, many years ago, and I would love to get a bit credit, but I really don't know when I read it, talking about how your wrinkles, your scars, the different things that have happened to your body over your lifetime can be a roadmap of your life. And if you look at it that way, it becomes beautiful, even the scars that we have. And that is a shift in perspective. That is how I can shift my perspective from, man, aging is for the birds, to what a beautiful gift my body's given me over the last 50 years. And look at all of these scars and look at all of these wrinkles and smile lines and frown lines. And the wisdom that I have today is coming from a place of many, many experiences and lots of pain. And lots of really great things that have happened and happiness and giving birth to babies. And there's just so many different things that if we switch our perspective, these fine lines on our body become gifts. And in reality, every single year that you get another year, every single day that you get another day is something to be grateful for. Not everybody gets that. So if I shift my perspective from, oh man, I don't want to get older, or I look like shit, or my skin doesn't have the same elasticity or anything like that, to what an incredible body I live in, with scars, with wrinkles, with muscles, all of these really intricate things in me that make me who I am. That's a big shift in perspective. Do you see how easy that is? It may take a minute to get your mind wrapped around it, but if you really believe, so you can't bullshit yourself. Like, I really am grateful for this body and where it's gotten me to. And if I start feeling down or start thinking, God, man, wow, that's a lot of change. Nobody looks at me anymore. I've become invisible, which in itself, my perception now to that is, and my perspective on that is amazing, amazing. I don't have to worry so much. My ego doesn't have to be involved as I'm walking through a store wondering if anybody's looking. They're probably not. But guess what I get? I get the people surrounded in my life that surround me love me for who I am, not how I look. They love me for what I bring to the table. They don't love me for arm candy. I don't know if I've ever been arm candy, but do you get the gist of what I'm trying to say? Another example of shifting your perspective would be when you don't know what the story is. You have no idea what the story is. And I'll use this example. I'm incredibly sensitive and concerned about other people. I have 3 children who are also the same way. And I remember one time I was leaving the store with my oldest daughter. And I feel like it was a Costco. And there was a woman, maybe 85, 90, I don't know, older, working in the store. And as we were walking through, as we walked out, I turned around and my daughter had big tears in her eyes. And I said, "Oh my goodness, what's wrong?" And she said, "I hate that woman has to work. She shouldn't have to work right now. She should be retired." And I was able to share with her, I had the same exact conversation 20 years before that with a friend of mine who grew up differently than I did and saw things differently. And I had done the same thing. It was almost the identical situation where I was like, "That just makes me so sad." And she turned around and looked at me and said, "Why do you think she has to work? Maybe she wants to get out of the house. Maybe she loves to work. Maybe this makes her happy and she's really enjoying herself being here." When you don't know the story, you get to make up your own story. This is key. This is key to feeling better and living better. You want to know the story. You want to help someone, ask them. But if you're just deciding, if you're going to base your perception on you and why you would be working at 85, you're going to tell yourself a story. Make the story good. How great. She's happy and healthy and she loves people. So she's working. We don't know what her financial situation is. We don't know why she's working. But also, that's a very light topic and one that may not at the end of the day really change your life, but will change your life is when you see that shift. You walk by somebody, they look stressed out. You don't know if they gave you a negative or a mean look. You could internally all of a sudden be like, "Oh my God, they don't like me," or "I wonder what I did to them. I wonder why that's happening." When in essence, you get to decide. You get to do 2 things. You get to decide, "Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe they didn't see me. I don't know. Maybe they're having a hard day." Or the big one, how about you communicate? Give them a call. "Hey, I walked by you in the store the other day and I don't know if you didn't see me, but it felt off and I felt a little weird about it. Can we talk about it? Is there something wrong?" And they can go, "No, I didn't see you." Or, "Yeah, I fucking hate your guts because so-and-so told me that you called me a bitch." And then you can go, "Who's so-and-so?" I mean, do you listen to how bizarre that story is? But how many times has that happened in your life where you had control of either your perception or communicating with that person to get the real story about what's going on and if there is an issue? I think the biggest key to this change is understanding that it's a choice. You can choose to change your perception. You can also look back at situations. I know there's been situations where I had conflict in business where I knew exactly why I was doing what I was doing. I'm going to use this example. Several years ago, I had gone for a certification for a yoga format that I found to be really healing for my body. It was a mixture of plyometrics and dance and yoga. And I had never moved my body that way. So I'm sure for people who have danced or have a different background than I did, they may not have had the same attraction to it, but I found it so releasing. There was a lot of pelvic tilts and shaking and different things. I was moving my body in a way that I had never moved it before. And I felt a connection to my body and a release that I had never quite felt before. When I describe that format, I would say it really helped me bring somewhat, at least physically, my brain to my body. Whereas something like the cycle program that I teach, I felt like I was releasing like negative emotion. You're working so hard. And I come from that background. So I was used to doing indoor cycle and really like getting rid of sadness and anger, and which made me happy. And in turn, you know, that was my exercise. Love was releasing. And I had never done anything really that brought mind and body together the same way. And the way that I was moving, again, was very different. So I feel like, without getting into a lot of detail, if you have scarring or not scarring, but mental and emotional scarring, physical, sexual, emotional abuse, I found it to be really beneficial for me. And I loved the women that I did the certification with and that I met through that program. We all had a collective idea, or the majority of us, at least the ones of us that got really close in that first certification, we were there. We wanted to see change. We believed in what we were doing. Our bodies loved what we were doing. And I was so excited to bring it back to the gym. And I absolutely loved it when I did. It caught on fairly quickly. We went from a few people in classes to packed full classes. We had probably, I think I started with one class on the weekend, and we ended up teaching like 7 classes a week, and people loved it. And when we went back to do certifications, I'd always go back when other instructors, I would pull people out of the gym and say, hey, you need to do this certification. Friends that I knew, other gyms, like, you guys have to do this. It's an amazing program. So every time there was a certification, I went down and supported those people. And it really grew like wildfire in our community. And I saw it as something that was incredibly healing for women. And my goal when I was doing that was to create a safe place for women to love and support each other, to look at their body moving, a place without judgment. And I know we all say, I don't judge, I don't do this and that. I'm telling you, it's the leaders of these programs that act like they don't do this, because that's where the money is, that you get behind the scenes with these people and they can be the most judgy fucking people you've ever met. And there's nothing that bothers me more than people who aren't true to who they say they are and to what they're preaching and teaching other people. And I will tell you a disclaimer here. I ended up getting more involved in that program and actually working for that program, despite knowing that the leadership in that program was not really doing what they said they were doing, which is bringing women together. That wasn't really happening, but how I justified that in my head was, I told myself, it's okay because you're doing that and you're not going to judge those people. When people tell you, you become who you're around. Looking back at that short period of time that I worked for that company, it was all, I think it was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. It was a short period of time. But not only did I say and do things that I really weren't in my character to do, but also when I left that format, I felt soulless. I didn't even know how, my body almost couldn't move. I had become, and I was in, it's, of course, I can't give you all the details with that, but what I will tell you is that it was soul stripping. Working in an environment where people were being yelled at, where people were being mistreated, where people were being made fun of, and trying to use this excuse for, you know, my excuse was, well, I can protect them, or I can stop this person from behaving that way. And I love the program, and it was huge, and I had tons of members from it back home, where, so I had moved about an hour and a half away to do this. And back home, I had this really great program with instructors who were amazing teachers teaching it, and it was good for my business. So it was also, not only was it something I really believed in, even though I didn't believe in the leadership, I really believed in what we were doing back home. So without getting too far off on a tangent, because what I really want to talk about is the conflict that happened when I came to the realization, and I am not going to get into that story completely, and it really had very little to do with the yoga format, but the leadership for the yoga format had kind of broken off to a mental health type program that was separate from the yoga program, but because of the nature, they were both being sold together. So if I were to, you know, if somebody was really into this yoga format and they went and looked on that website, it led them into this other thing that I, for myself, felt like was way out of the person's scope of practice. I saw some things that potentially people could have been very, very harmed. And it became a direct, like, gosh, there's nothing. I wanted to continue teaching that format, but I recognized how that could lead someone into this other area that could harm them. And that I didn't feel like that was the best thing for them, and had actually witnessed people be led down paths that were potentially life-threatening. And I say that with hesitation and kind of going out on a limb here, but I saw some things that were very, very concerning, and I wanted to ignore them. And I wanted to keep talking to myself and thinking about what we do here is different. It didn't change the fact that I couldn't control. If I didn't take a stand against that, didn't say, absolutely not, I believe that you're out of your scope of practice, I do not want anybody I know going down that road, or potentially, because I'm teaching that format, think that I agree with it and it's something that's safe. So I made the decision to pull the format. That was not an easy decision to make. It impacted my business, although not quite like I thought it would. I had a couple of people like write me little nasty notes or emails and talk to me about, you know, you better not do this. You know what's going to happen to your business and the bullshit like that. Not understanding why. Again, we're talking about perception and conflict. So now for the retrospect. So looking back, I walked in. I had several instructors that were happily teaching and loved the program. And even though they knew what had happened to these other people that had gotten involved in the other program, they didn't feel any sense of, or at least they didn't take responsibility for that. Even though it's like, hey, you know, they would not have had that happen had they not come through us doing this other program. They didn't want to take responsibility for it, and they wanted to do what they wanted to do. So I kind of took the stance of, this is what's going to happen. This is what we're going to do because it's the right thing to do, and I don't really care what you think about it. Now, looking back at that, I was dealing with one of the girls that I was dealing with was a person who absolutely hated change. So what a terrible way to try and communicate with someone, to walk in, and my perception was valid. And it was true. And I was in the thick of it. I knew what it was. And so, but the way I handled that situation, the way I communicated was not helpful. It left a perception that I was callous and didn't care how she felt. And I really didn't give her any notice. I think it was like a week. Maybe like, we are going to do this and we're going to do this immediately. We're going to do things differently. And it kind of out of left field for her. And I really didn't give her a lot of grace in the sense of like, I felt this way inside, kind of like, pull your shit together. If you know something is harming people or it potentially could harm people, what the fuck is wrong with you? You should stop doing it too, despite how much you want to do it. Despite it could cost me money. I'm going to stop doing it. You should do the same thing. And those thoughts were coming from my experience, not hers, what I had experienced in that program. And I was expecting her to have the same value system that I did. So in retrospect, how could I have done that differently? It didn't change the story. It didn't change what I had been through. It didn't change anything that had happened. That was my reality. And I did what I believed that I should do. Looking back, I would do exactly the same thing when it comes to stopping the program. How I communicated it to our members and how I communicated it to our staff would have been much kinder. And I was scared. Back then, I was afraid to say what I knew, and I was afraid to say what I had been through. So there was a lot of people who didn't, I was just asking them to trust that this was not a program that we could keep, and it could impact other people and cause harm inadvertently. So now if that were to happen today, I would go about that in a very different way, and I would be much kinder and much softer, and I would give people the ability to take some time and say, you know, I know this is probably a really hard decision for you, and I don't know how you're going to take this, and I know it's painful. It's painful for me too. And maybe we can look at teaching a similar format, or maybe this isn't the right place for you, and I honor and accept if you don't agree with me. And you know, there's lots of different areas in our and locations that have this too. I could have gone to our members. If I had to do it again, I'd probably give them a little bit more detail than I felt like I could then. And just say, I feel like this is the right thing to do. And I understand if it's not impacting you and you feel differently, and I wish you well. There's a shift here in how I'm going to deal with people. And so I've tried to, that was a mistake that I made. And out of fear, remember when we talked about change and adaptability, I'm like, when it gets to go time and it's time to make a change, I just do it. And so I was in my mode and in my, what I had done from my past and in my life. And then also I have a really good friend who I got a certification with that kept teaching the format. And she was like, I don't give a fuck what she does. I don't do that. And I don't even, I don't care about any of that shit. And I'm going to do my thing and teach it because people love it. And as far as I know, nobody's ever been impacted by it. That was her decision. That was what was right for her. That was her perspective and perception. Now, she wasn't wrong. Doesn't change my reality, but she wasn't wrong. So also learning that when you're talking to people, they're never going to even, what word do I want to use here? The ability to perceive, no, that's not right. The filter, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. The filter and the lens that they're looking through something may be very, very different than yours. Had I to do that again, I would still not teach the format, but how I spoke to people and what I said would be different. So in that scenario, I've shifted my perspective from, man, there's a lot of really fucked up people that don't give a shit about who's been harmed, to you experience a different reality than the people around you. You had more information than they had. You had a different value system. You made a decision. It didn't make them wrong and you right. It didn't change the outcome. But moving forward, if I was in the same position again, and this is why retrospection is so important, if I was in the same situation again, I would acknowledge the difference in our perceptions. And I would have taken that into account when I was having really hard conversations about something that nobody wanted to do. So I hope that makes sense to you. I hope I didn't go too far off into that story. That is a whole nother podcast someday, if I can find a way to talk about it without harming other people, because at the end of the day, and the reason that I stayed fairly quiet in this, there were a few things that I said, and I tried to kind of explain myself a little bit, but I truly believe that the woman that I was working for was mentally ill. And if I want to change mental illness, I'm not going to attack it, but I'm going to understand that currently we are not doing what we could be doing to help people with problems. Obviously, she has been, if she is mentally ill, and I obviously am not, that's way out of my scope of practice to be diagnosing her, but based on what I saw and how I saw different things happen, I would say that she needed some help. So with love, I can walk away with that and hope that she has found that help and that things are different from her, but that doesn't change the fact that I am not going to associate it with it and or put people in harm's way. So keep in mind, knowledge is power. Looking back, how could I have done things differently? Where could my perception have been off? And this isn't about attacking yourself. This is about taking inventory. And there's going to be times that you do this and you think, just like I said, I would change some of what I did, but ultimately, and at the end of the day, I would not change the outcome. That format would not be and is not at my gym, and it will not be. But what can we do when we have these things come up, when we our perception could be off, and we're not sure if it's off? Start by writing down how you feel. Are these automatic negative thoughts? Are you making assumptions? Are you operating selfishly like I was in the situation with removing the format, which is, I got to get this done. I'm going to get this done. I don't care who it impacts. It's the right thing to do, and I'm going to move forward. Learn to communicate. Learn to have conversations in different ways. Remember that your reality is not the same as somebody else's. And why? It makes things so much easier if you're around people and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with them? They have a different lens than you do. Not always, but let's give people the benefit of the doubt. Let's say they have a different lens, and the way you just looked at them or the way you said something may not have been taken the same way that you would have taken it had the shoe been on the other foot. Not about putting up with things you shouldn't put up with. Let me say that again. This is not about putting up with things you shouldn't put up with, but it's about opening your mind to the reality of there is no reality. It's only perception. And then the only thing you can do is check your perception. And where is it coming from? Is it coming from a wounded place? Or is it coming from a place of strength and of change and the willingness to be wrong? I'm sorry, I was wrong. I owe you an apology. The way I dealt with that was not okay. And then back to the other stuff we're talking about. Again, this is all about taking the time to think about it. Is my perception in check? Is growing old the worst possible thing that could happen to me? Because you know what the alternative to growing old is? Despite what plastic surgeons may tell you, it's death. The alternative to getting older and your body changing, because it is going to change whether you do it gracefully or not, is death. So if I put that in perspective, I'm going to guess most of us are going to go, yeah, let's age and let's do it. Let's do this shit. I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to get off this planet anytime soon. Although when I do, I hope I manage it with the same grace that I'm attempting to manage my life with. Again, a whole nother conversation and podcast, but I would really like to talk about that because I know there's so many people afraid of dying. And I think there's some really important things that we could talk about that, again, might change your perception. So this week, perception is the key word. Manage your thinking. Take the time to think through it. Where am I coming from? What is my lens showing me? Could my picture be off? What is the big picture? Those kind of questions can really change everything. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great week. And remember, just stay undone and uncensored. Speak your mind. Speak it with love. Have retrospection if you need it. Go back and say you're sorry when you want to, but do not keep your mouth shut when it's time to talk. Undone and uncensored is where it's at. With love. See you later. Thanks for listening today. Book a coaching session or purchase merch at www.undoneanduncensored.com or give me a follow on the gram, Undone and Uncensored. Have a great week.